The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Bible teachers and theologians have differing views of election. It is obviously in the Bible, but is there a biblically consistent view of election? And as a free grace organization, where does the Grace Evangelical Society stand? This is Grace in Focus, the radio broadcast and podcast arm of the Grace Evangelical Society. We're glad that you are joining us today. Our website is faithalone.org. We have hundreds of articles there for you to research and read, so lots of free things. We also have a bookstore, and Bob Wilkins' latest book, The Gospel is Still Under Siege, can be found there. That is faithalone.org. Now, with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkins and Sam Marr.
Sam, I believe you've got a question from Nicole about the free grace understanding of election.
Yeah, her question, she asks, can we elaborate for a better understanding of basically the GS view of election? And she has something pulled from our website under our Beliefs Fuller statement, and so she just wants clarification on our view of election.
Yeah, I've heard about this before because we have actually two different views of election there. For a while, I believe all we had was election to service, and some people complained that, there are free grace people who hold to election to eternal life, but also believing in free will and people choosing to respond to God's drawing and seeking God and coming to faith. And so we added a second part. Maybe you can read what she pulled from the website.
We consider two views of election and salvation to be possible. First, election by God is to service, not eternal destiny, and then citing verses. And then the second view, God sovereignly chooses those who would be saved before the foundation of the world, yet this must be balanced against the biblical teaching that people are able to respond to God's drawing. In this view, there's a mystery here that we cannot fully comprehend. God sovereignly chooses, and man is free to respond to God's drawing.
I don't know if we'll stick with putting both up there or not, because GES view is essentially the first view, that election is to service. But there are people from within GES, and there are people from within the free grace camp that hold to that second view, that election is to eternal life, but there's a mystery. It doesn't deny free will. It doesn't deny that people can respond to God's drawing. In fact, as best I can tell, that was the view of my mentor, Zane Hodges. He held this view that God could use middle knowledge to get people to freely believe who were elect, but they did so freely, and he had a kind of a complicated illustration. I think had Zane lived longer and we'd had a chance to interact more around the time he passed, I guess that's around the time I came to this view of service, but I maybe could have had an influence on him or others might have. But we have a book called Election to Service, and I think that book does a good job of explaining it. And what are some of the verses we list under Election to Service?
John 15:16, Acts 1:2, and 1:24, Acts 10:41, 15:7, and 1 Peter 2:4.
Yeah, so there are various verses that indicate clearly that God has chosen people for service. For example, God chose the 12 to be Christ's disciples. In Acts chapter 1, Matthias was chosen to take Judas's place. Those 11 plus Matthias were chosen to be apostles. And there are just lots of examples. Paul was chosen to be the apostle to the Gentiles. And even a verse like 1 Peter 1:2, maybe you could read that in the New King James, and I can explain why that's a bad translation.
It says, "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ."
Okay, that's verse 2, but now read verse 1.
"Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia."
Yeah, now look it up in your Greek New Testament, and what you will see there is that the word eklektos appears in the first verse before the word sojourners or pilgrims. It's not elect to eternal life before the foundation of the world. They are elect pilgrims or elect sojourners. So they were chosen to be dispersed around the Roman Empire, Jewish believers. And so this is a bad translation. It should say Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the chosen pilgrims of the dispersion.
Right, and doesn't chapter 2, verse 4 and 5 also support that? Coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house.
Yeah, and notice here when in 1 Peter 2, 4, coming to him who as a living stone, rejected but chosen by God. Jesus was chosen by God the Father to go to the cross and therefore to become the foundation of the church. He goes on to say, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. Well, that chief cornerstone is talking about Jesus. He's elect, and he who believes on him will by no means put to shame. So Jesus was chosen by the Father to be incarnate, to die on the cross, to rise from the dead, to ascend to heaven, to be the cornerstone of the church, and of course, to run the kingdom.
Did you know that the Grace Evangelical Society offers an MDiv degree through our online seminary? And tuition is free to those who maintain a 3.0 grade average. It is a 3-year degree program, and you could submit your application now to gain acceptance. Then stay apprised of our registration periods for upcoming semester terms. Program and application details can be found at gesseminary.org. Have a look at our MDiv degree. Become an approved workman. Find out how. gesseminary.org.
Choosing in the scriptures has to do with service. There's not a single undisputed verse that refers to election to eternal life. There are some vague places where it talks about elect, the elect or elect, and there's nothing mentioned, no qualifier. But there's nothing or nowhere that says people were elect to eternal life. Did you have some verse you're looking up there?
I was going to check Romans 8:33 because that's what we have up on the website for the second view, which says, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies.
Yeah, God's elect there is one of those ones where it's not well defined. But what I would say is this, and I know this is a little different than the normal way people understand Romans 8, but we've talked about it here before. Verse 17 is crucial. It says, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. So all believers are heirs of God, but only those believers who suffer for Christ are joint heirs with Christ, and then will be glorified together. Then the next verse, verse 18, says, I consider that the sufferings in the present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which will be revealed in us. The us there is not all believers. That's the overcoming believers, the believers who suffer for him. And I would argue everything from 18 to 39, all the way to the end, is dealing with overcoming believers. So when he says in verse 33, who shall bring a charge against God's chosen ones or his elect? I believe he's talking there about the overcomers, the faithful believers. And the whole point is that even though believers are being killed all day long and they're counted as sheep to the slaughter, nothing, not death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I don't think that's a statement of eternal security. I think that's a statement of the fact that the overcoming believer, the faithful believer, no matter what suffering we go through, we're never separated from the love of God. That God's love for us remains strong because we are suffering for his Son. And so that's the way I would understand elect in verse 33. This is chosen to rule and reign with Christ, chosen to be co-glorified. And that is something which has not yet taken place, but we can be in position to be chosen like that. And there are other references like that. There's a reference in, I believe, Romans 16 talks about one of the people he mentions is elect in Christ. And it's not real clear what that means, but I think he's a chosen minister, something along those lines. It might be Rufus. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine.
Yeah. So when it says Rufus, chosen in the Lord, of course, the Calvinist jumps on that and says, look, he's one of the elect. Well, what does he mean by chosen in the Lord? That's not so obvious. I think it means he's chosen to serve, probably chosen as an elder in one of these tenement churches or one of these house churches, but he's a chosen vessel of Christ. You remember, Paul is God's chosen vessel to the Gentiles. And I think you can explain just about any verse like that. You've also got 2 John and 3 John talk about the elect, but I think there we're looking at churches. 2 John 1, to the elect lady and her children. Well, the elect lady refers to a local assembly, and her children refers to the members of that local assembly. This church has been chosen by God to manifest the glory of Christ, something along those lines. The point is, when you study the word elect and chosen, it's always to service. So I'm not sure if we're going to keep the other view in there, because that's not my view. I really don't know any of the board members that hold the view that God chooses to eternal life. And we've just put that in there to recognize there are people who hold that view who are still in the free grace camp. Good question, Nicole. I hope my answer doesn't confuse you more than it helps. We've also got a number of articles. In fact, if Acts 13:48 disturbs you, look at faithalone.org. I've got a couple articles on Acts 13:48, and I show that that verse is actually talking about as many as were open to eternal life believe.
And I think the takeaway here, this can be applied to a lot of different words in the Bible, like you've talked about with salvation. When you see this word election or chosen, you have to ask, what is it elected or chosen to, just like saved from or condemned and things like that.
Exactly. All right, everybody, we'll keep grace
in focus.
Amen.
We would love to know where you are when you are listening to us. Please take a short minute to send us the call letters of this station and the city where you are listening, and how many times a week you listen. Thank you. You will be helping us with our stewardship. Send it to radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can give, go to faithalone.org. On our website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other free grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. Thank you for joining us each weekday. And now we hope you have a great weekend. Make sure to participate in a Bible-believing church. And come back on Monday for more Grace in Focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.